Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the church today. The power of communication in the service of the gospel is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. It is our great pleasure today to welcome into our studios the Reverend Dr. Samuel Meshack, who is the principal of Concordia Theological Seminary in Nagarkoil, India. And Dr. Meshack is no stranger to England. He did his PhD at the University of Leicester. And we welcome you. Very glad to have you on Lutheran Radio UK, Dr. Meshack. Could we begin with you giving us a little bit of information about the India Evangelical Lutheran Church? Some of our listeners may not be familiar with that church body, and I think it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to learn more about our brothers and sisters in Christ.
India Evangelical Lutheran Church is one of the pioneering Lutheran churches in India. Actually, the Lutheran Church came into India almost about 300 years ago. One of the first missionary who came to India is from the German church. And later, when the missionaries from the LCMS came to India, it's just almost about more than 130 years now. It comprises of almost about 100,000 believers. And we see it is the India Evangelical Lutheran Church because several states comprising of India have this church. It's not only in one segment of Tamil or Andhra or Kerala or North India, but we comprise in many parts of the country. So we call it as India Evangelical Lutheran Church.
So when you meet together, how do you overcome these language barriers then?
And normally we just have English as the base language so that we could communicate with one another. Otherwise, most of our Pampan pastors and others at least know three languages, so we communicate in a little better way.
And you are also the principal of Concordia Theological Seminary in Nagarkoil. Can you tell us a little bit about the seminary there?
Right. The seminary was formed, it was established in the year 1924 by the missionaries from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But unfortunately, it was only for the small church, and we also had only at the lower level, and we did not have it as a sort of the higher level theological education program. We used to be sending candidates for higher theological education programs to other parts of India, other seminaries, and that's how we were doing it. But last year, I just took over as a principal of the seminary after serving in another Lutheran seminary for almost 30 years, where I served as the principal and also as the professor of communication. Now, when I took over, I immediately started the program of what we call as MDiv, which we call back at home as BD, Bachelor in Divinity, and which is a little higher level of theological training. Now, we have almost about 50 students in our community, and 10 professors are serving the seminary.
And as principal of the seminary, what are your duties?
I consider the principalship is primarily comes to me. It's because I was a professor. So I consider teaching is one of my primary tasks. And apart from teaching, I also have to do the administrative work. So it is both administration and teaching comes to play as a principal of the seminary.
And what we want to talk about today is communication of the gospel, the theology of communication, which I believe is a course you teach at your seminary. And we want to try and pick your brain today on this most important of issues. So is there a theology of communication?
Right. Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And this is for the question that people ask me wherever I go. Why should communication be taught in a theological seminary? Isn't it a secular education field? But I consider communication is one of the primary tasks of a theological education program. I would say Christianity is preeminently a religion of communication. It is God self-communication. And we just look into this the Genesis story. In the beginning was the Word. And that is, we can just say it is translated in the John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So I just normally translate that as, in the beginning was communication, and the communication was with God, and the communication was God. So the word was the primary component which God used for communication. So communication was a preeminently a Christian concept. So I say it is God who communicated with people. And so I call this, the Bible is a book of communication. And if you could just see, the beginning, God used various symbols, and he used prophets and seers and various people in order to communicate his good news. And ultimately, as we read it in the book of Hebrews, ultimately, God communicated through his own Son. That is, the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. So that means Christ, the Word, become flesh and dwelt among us. So his incarnation is a symbol of communication of God with us. So I call communication is one of the important dimensions of the Christian church. And then one of the important aspects that also we see is when Christ was leaving the world and ascended into heaven, he gave the mandate to the church. And he said, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. So this is a mandate which every one of us has to take it. That means to say, Christian mission is concerned with the proclamation of good news. It's a communication of good news to all creations. So without communication, there is no mission. And all Christians are called to be missionaries. So communication plays a key and vital role. And also, I would like to quote one of the theologians way back in 1957, who said, communication of the message is the crowning category of which all activities of the church in evangelizing, preaching, teaching, and witnessing to all fields of life are a part. That means it puts communication as a center of Christian mission, whether it is evangelizing, preaching, teaching, or witnessing to every field of life, communication plays a key role. So we call communication is one of the important thing. And another theologian says, communication is a study of everything. Communication is a study of everything. So we consider communication is one of the primary message that every Christian has to take. So we say communication of the message, either it is a missionary or apostolic obligation. And so the church has a mandate to communicate. So communication becomes a central focus of our life.
So the church has a mandate to communicate. God wants us to communicate. I suppose my question then is, what does he want us to communicate? What is the church's mandate?
What is the gospel? The gospel is Christ himself. We are communicating the word become flesh. So that means the word which was God himself, which took the form of flesh and dwelt among us, that means that is what we ought to communicate. The good news of Christ is the thing that we need to communicate to the people. So that is what we call is a divine command, which the church got to do it. So it is God's mission, and the church is called to communicate.
And if we're called to communicate the love of God through Jesus Christ,
right,
his death, his resurrection,
right,
for the forgiveness of our sins,
yes,
you talked about ways that we can do that.
Yeah.
Preaching, teaching, through the way we live our lives,
right,
through evangelism.
And witnessing.
Yes. Yeah. Can you expand a little bit more about those different ways?
Preaching is one of the basic elements for a pastor. Every Sunday, he is called to preach the good news. And every time when he meets other people, whether it is for personal evangelism or for a prayer meeting in a house for some important occasions, he is called to preach. But the preaching, how a person is doing, is one of the important things that we need to know. Quite often what we say is our pastors are getting a very good theology. They study for 4 years or 5 years in a theological institution, get all the biblical knowledge, including the languages of Greek and Hebrew and Latin. But if they are not in a position to communicate whatever they have prepared, whatever they have learned, so the message doesn't reach the people. So communication is not simply in the words, but it's in the meaning attached to the word. So to what extent people, I mean, our pastors, are in a position to convey the meaning of the message to the people. So communication plays a key role in making people understand what it is. So, and also we say, communication is in evangelism. So it is making the people understand the gospel of Christ, the love of God, in their own cultural context. So all these aspects plays a key role in making people understand what the message is. So communication plays a central role in making people understand the message clearly.
So it sounds to me like you're saying it's a very incarnational way of thinking.
Right.
God comes down to us
right.
to communicate his love through us through Jesus.
Yes.
So we have to go to where people are to communicate God's love
right.
to them again in Christ.
Right.
Sounds wonderful in theory.
Yes.
How do I, as a pastor then, do you have some helpful advice to me to speak the word clearly
mm-hmm.
to my parishioners or to
okay.
people I meet on the street?
But I can say that communication is essential for a pastor. And today we are living in a world of communication. And we need to see how communication plays a key role in our life first. So in order to do that, I say there are three important aspects that we need to look into why we need to offer communication in theological education. First, as I said in the beginning, I consider the book of, well, the Bible is a book of communication. God communicated in various means in order for people to get the meaning of what his message is. He used the people and he used their own stories and he used symbols, signs, parables, all these elements in order to make the story relevant for people, people understanding the story. So we need to take that principle to make people understand. So that is one of the important aspects. Secondly, we are living in a world of communication. Today, our values are learned by our children through media. Media becomes the teacher of learning values. Earlier, it is the family which was giving the values, the church which was giving the values, or the schools which were giving the values to the people. But today, children are learning more from the media. And for that, does the pastor has an ability to discern what the media says and how that could be translated into people, whether it is good or bad. So the pastors need to be educated in order to understand, evaluate the right message or the bad message, so that they get the right way of listening to the media. Otherwise, the media today is becoming more of a commercial values. They are living in a competitive world. So the children are going into that values, and we need to discern from the media values and the kingdom values. The kingdom value, we call it as love, peace, justice. And the media values are competitive values where it is teaching us to be more commercial in our outlook. So how do we discern what is right and what is wrong? So we need to understand this principle. And then thirdly, it is not simply what we look at, but we ourselves should be communication. Christ was a communication to the people. He himself was communication. That means he witnessed to what God's love is. So we all know to become the witnesses. So that means we are communication of God to people. So how do we communicate through our life? Our life is an essence of God's communication. So that's what we say. We have to learn all these elements in order to proclaim what is this good news that we wanted to communicate to people.
Can we unpack that for a minute, both all of those three things? I really like your first explanation, because as you look at the scriptures, you see in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's history, poetry, the Psalms, or the songbook of the Old Testament, the hymn book, there's prophecy, there's signs, as you say, in Jesus, he used parables.
Yes.
He used healings.
Yes.
He used all kinds of teaching
right.
to speak to different people of
right.
different emotions, different character, different intellectual
attitude,
ability, different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
do you see that the church has a need to try and employ these different means to reach people of differing character?
Characters. First, I define communication as a glue. It helps us to hold the community or society together. It helps the congregation to be held together if we employ proper communication. So it builds a relationship. Where there is no relationship, it breaks down. So communication helps build proper relationship. On the other ground, what we say is communication is also a lubrication. Where there are frictions, if you just employ the relationship, the love of God, then it smoothly moves. Otherwise, the friction makes the mission to break down. So communication is very essential for our ministry, where we employ our the principles of communication to the life of the people and also to the life of the congregation, or even in our own family life. When there is a friction between husband and wife and husband and parents and children, employ the principle of lubrication, a communication, and it smoothens the whole life situation and makes people. That's what God was always using. When people go away from God, God uses the prophets to tell His love to them. Take for example the book of Hosea. If God used the life of Hosea himself to depict what his life is, God is love. So he wanted to make Hosea a prophet to show that although his wife is going away, but he wanted to take her back to show what God's love is. So that's what God is making us to understand, that you, even though you go away, God still loves you to bring you back to Him. So that is the means of God's communication to us to enable us and understand how we can bring people back to God through His love, through our relationship, and making people understand how we can live together.
And your second area that you talked about was listening to the media, hearing what our kids are hearing.
Yes.
So again, it sounds to me like you think it's very important that pastors, parents, youth leaders know what the youth are hearing to be able to say, wait a minute, is this really what God would have us hear and do?
Right.
So is it you feel it's important for us to keep up with what's going on in the society around us?
Now, we are living in the world. We cannot simply say that there is no way that we wanted to go away from the world. Even in the John's Gospel, when Jesus was praying to the Father, Father, they are in the world, and I'm praying for them, He says. So God kept us in the world to be witnesses, so that we are not totally immersed in the world. We are living in the world, but we have to be out of the world. But the media is making it to become more engrossed in the life of the world. And how do we discern? And also, we need to see the media is also giving good things. It makes us to learn good things. But quite often, we ignore those aspects and we carry only the bad things that media is giving to us. So a pastor need to tell the congregation which is good and which is bad, and making people to discern what is right and what is wrong in the media, and what we need to learn and what we need to live up. So that way, the media can become a two-edged sword for me. It is right in one sense, and it's also wrong in another sense. So we need to pick up what is right and live out what is wrong. So that we need to teach our children. So that's what we call media education is one of the primary element that we need to introduce, even at the confirmation level, in our Sunday school level, at our youth meetings, and our any other meetings. For example, we need to tell people what media offers to us and how we can make use of this media in a fruitful way.
And in your third aspect, you talked about our life of witness. And again, I heard that in our lives as pastors or parents or Christians of any walk or vocation, there needs to be a consistency between our word and our action and our life reflecting the love of Christ. We communicate in more than just words.
Right. Christ is a good communicator. In other words, to say He was a perfect communicator, we say, because He communicated everything to His people in a most simple way through His life. He lived what He taught and He lived what He preached. So that's what it should be. Whatever we say, people should see that in our life. Do we reflect what we say in our life? So that is what it means. When you say something, you have to live by what you say. You have to practice what you say.
And drawing that out even a bit further, when I might say to you, you know, you need to do this, mm-hmm. and I turn around and mm-hmm. don't do that,
right.
then I need to come back to you and go, you know what? I messed up. I sinned. I need forgiveness.
Right. Right.
So that we communicate through seeking forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
As well.
Yes. And the reconciliation. The
yes.
process of reconciliation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, getting back to that second mm-hmm. point about mm-hmm. the double-edged sword
right.
of modern media.
Yeah.
How do you see the place of the modern media mm-hmm. within the life of a congregation or a mm-hmm. church body?
Mm-hmm.
We see things like email, Twitter, Facebook. All of these things,
right.
do they have a part? Should they have a part within the life
right.
of the church?
Definitely, definitely. See, for example, now email, we can form email groups and we can just make people send the prayer requests and pray for one another. And tomorrow, we as a family, we are going to meet as a family for prayer. You know, our family is scattered around the world. I mean, one of my brother is in the United States, and one brother is in Canada, and one brother is back in India, and my sisters are all, and my cousins, different places, and my daughter is in Canada. But we said, first Saturday of the month, between 9 and 10 in the night, taking the United States time, in East time, and we are all going to meet together for prayer. So that, how we were going to do, we are going to just hook up using the Skype. And then we could just pray together and bring the concerns together. And that way, even a congregation can be together. And people from different corners can come together for prayer. So that way, that modern media is really can be made use of for bringing our Christian faith, our Christian fellowship, even getting stronger and stronger.
Again, things like Facebook, Twitter, how can we use those? How can I employ them in my ministry?
See, for example, blogging. One of my students was doing a PhD thesis on blogging to be made use of for enabling people to know how they could express themselves to the larger community. So what is the place of blogging? And the same way, the Twitter or the Facebook, they could just be used to communicate the message very well. It could create sort of public relations. It could be used as a public relation tool, and it will be a massive element to pass on information so quickly to others. For example, you know, in India, we have for this massive corruption, and one of the common corruption crusader was Anna Hazare, and he has called for a meeting in Delhi and wanted to address that to the government. People from different corners, different cities, gathered together to address that same issue. So then we said, when he was sitting in hunger strike in Delhi, people also sat in Calcutta, Bombay, Chennai, Bangalore, Hyderabad, in several places at the same time. And they were just watching what's happening in Delhi, and they were doing it in other places as well. But when the secular world is in the position to use this media in that way, how can we use this for our gospel mission? A person can preach, and several people from different corners of the world can hear and see what is happening. So that way, this modern social media can be made use of powerfully in our mission.
In the example you've just given, I think maybe it leads into the church's call to be a prophetic witness.
The mission of the church is to be the bearer of the message of love and healing. That's what the prophetic message was. The prophets were the people who wanted to show God's love to the people. And at the same time, they wanted to see that these people turn back to God and come to Him. And at the same time, they were denouncing what is the evil that is going on in the society. They are not simply accepting, okay, you can do the evil things and you can just come to God. No. They say that you have to live out what is happening in your conscience, in your society, and then turn to God. So prophetic consciousness is one of the key elements of the communication. So we say the principle, one of the important principles of Christian principles of communication is to be prophetic. And that means what is happening, the evils in the society, you should not be shunning. When you see something is happening, you should give that as a prophetic voice and make people understand that you cannot be silent on the wrong things. You have to be bold enough to speak out, not to hold on to the status quo, but to make things happen in a way that is different from what it should be. So that is what we call is a prophetic voice. And the second element of the principle of Christian communication is incarnation. And we need to be with people, as we say in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That means God's love was shown to us in Christ, and He Himself has taken the form of flesh and was with us. So in the same way, we need to show God's love to people who are in need, who are suffering, who are neglected, and we need to be with them, showing God's love to them. That is what the prophets have also done. Prophets were with people. Take, for example, the prophet Jeremiah. Whenever he saw evil things in the society, he denounced people. But when he went to God, and he was pleading with him and crying for the people. So a communicator is the one who has to play the dual role, seeing the evils and attacking the evils, and saying that people should come out of the evil, but pleading for people that they should be turned back to God, and God should take them and not to lay them off. That calls for a bold action, because we need to challenge the society. We need to challenge the people what they are doing in the wrong way, and then correct them. So that needs a lot of courage. So that's what the prophets have done. And Christians, being prophets, are good communicators. So we need to be prophetic communication, a prophetic voice.
I think you bring up an interesting point when you say that can be a dangerous thing. It sounds to me like you're saying we need to proclaim the law to people. You need to repent, but that can be dangerous. Look what happened to Jeremiah. Look what happened to Jesus.
Yes.
It eventually led him to the cross.
Right.
But also, it seems to me be just as dangerous proclaiming the good news.
Yes.
Your
right.
sins are forgiven. Welcome into the kingdom of God, tax collectors and
right.
prostitutes.
Right.
And what did Jesus, they called him a blasphemer.
Blasphemer.
It seems to me, whenever we communicate either the law or the gospel, we can be in serious trouble with
right.
our society.
Right.
So I appreciate that it's a very dangerous thing to do.
It's a very dangerous thing. At the same time, that's what we are called to do. And if you're not going to do it, and we are simply just accepting whatever the society is saying, whatever the evil things are just saying to us, and if you're going to follow it, and we are not true disciples of Christ. We were discussing about the theology of the cross, where we are called to suffer. Only in suffering we see the glory of God. Christ suffered and then he got into the glory of God. So we want to get into the glory of God, we have to suffer. Without suffering, there is no glory.
And how do we communicate that? That's not a message the world wants to hear.
That is a challenge. That's what I say. A prophet needs to be bold, and he should not fall into the status quo symbol. As the scripture says, say yes to yes, no to no. That's what the prophetic voice is. That calls for a boldness, a challenge. And if you're not going to do that, then you are falling into the prey of the other dimensions of the society.
You're a false prophet.
Yes.
So let me just put you on the spot then, Dr. Meshach. Can you sum up in a way that hopefully all of our listeners can understand what it is that we as Christians are trying to communicate to the world, and why communication is so important for the Christian church?
You know, one of the very profound theologian, Karl Barth, when he was giving a lecture, and at the end of his lecture, people asked him the question, you have written several books, you're considered to be one of the good, profound theologian. Could you just put it in one word, all that you wanted to say about your theology? And he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, Father, Bible tells me so. So, a profound theologian, given volumes of theology, and he puts all the theology in a nutshell, Jesus loves me, this I know, Father, Bible tells me so. That's what the whole communication is. We are called to communicate the love of God to the people. And that's what the mandate is. Go and proclaim the good news of God's love to the entire world. And that's the mandate. Whether as a Christian you like it or not, you are called to proclaim that. You are called to communicate God's love to people. And that's what is a message that I also would like to give to you all. You be a communicator of God's love so that people will know that you are God's channel of love.
Thank you very much, Dr. Samuel Meshach, Principal of Concordia Theological Seminary in Nagarkoil, India. And we thank you very much for sharing your insights on communication with us. And we, here at Lutheran Radio UK, take that very seriously, as that is our goal, to communicate God's love through Jesus Christ to the entire world. Thank you very much for helping us to come to a deeper understanding and appreciation of that.
I really appreciate it, and I thank you for giving me this time to share my concept of phenomenal communication to your audience. And may God bless you, and let all those who hear become good communicators of God's love.
Amen. And please take our greetings back to our brothers and sisters in India, and God's richest blessings to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.